from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, child psychologists tell us that children don't really begin to develop a sense of awareness of others, a sense of reality beyond their own kind of field of vision, beyond their own experience, until they're about 2 years old, maybe three, end of two or three. That's why we talk about, if you've ever been a parent, or if you've ever been a school teacher, or a preschool teacher, or a grandparent, we talk about the terrible twos, the terrible twos. And they're terrible because little children don't understand the impact that their actions have on others. And they don't really care. They're selfish. They're self-centered. They love the world to the extent that the world is something that they can dominate and that they control. And they learn this word early, this short little word. It becomes their favorite word. It's only two letters. Do you know what it is? No! Jeffrey, would you want to get out of bed today? No. You want to have breakfast today? No. You want to have lunch? No. You want to go outside and play? No. Maybe. You might win on that one. But if you get a little kid going, you could get him to say no to just about everything. You want to get up? No. You want to sit down? No. You want to stay there? No. You want to go? No. You want some ice cream? No. Wait! That's too fast. No is their favorite word. Why? Because when they say no, they can exercise some dominance or power, or they can control something. You ask them if they want something and they say no, that's it. Thankfully, most of us grow up. And by kindergarten, at least, I hope, we begin to learn and develop, and we begin to realize that friends are good. Brothers and sisters are good. Parents are good. Community is good. Our actions, our own actions, whether we say yes or no to something, have an effect on others, including their feelings. We begin to mature and develop, and it's a great thing. You get to go to kindergarten. That's a great thing. Well, as we look at Ezekiel chapter 34 today, it's not about child psychology, but it does focus on the importance of community, the importance of knowing there's an effect that you have on the people around you. Now, if you read all of chapter 34, Ezekiel spends a lot of time kind of pointing his guns at political leaders like the king at the time, or any king really, and you know, have you ever had a bad king? Have you ever had, you know, a president you didn't really kind of agree everything with? Did you ever have he also spends time kind of spiritual leaders. Did you ever have a pastor you didn't like? Or one that you can't trust or something? Or one who doesn't do his job? Well, Ezekiel 34, the Lord calls him to account. He says, there's going to be judgment on you, leaders, because you're bad leaders or you're not leading. And I don't know about you, but maybe at least you can think about the people of Israel at the time kind of saying, yeah, I've been saying the same thing to my wife for 30 years. Why don't they get their act together? It's easy to point the finger at them. Say, yeah, Lord, give it to them. Tell them the way it is. Tell them what they should do. Tell them to shape up. Finally, somebody's telling them what, you know, what I feel is with anger and frustration about the leadership that I see or the lack of leadership. It's about time. But then right there, in the middle of our text, in the middle of chapter 34, the Lord says, just a second. He says, to my flock, I've dealt with the shepherds and I'll deal with the shepherds. And by the way, I'm going to be your good shepherd, flock, so. But to my flock, I say the following. He says, as for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. And he says, is it not enough for you to feed from the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink from the clear water, that you must muddy up the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you've trod with your feet and drink what you've muddied with your feet? I want you to notice that what God says here, he says, to my flock, is this who you are? What the Lord is saying is a hard challenge for us, his flock. He's not talking about the people out there. He's not talking about the people out there. He's talking about my flock, he says. Us. You're the ones that I sent my son to die for. This prophecy here in Ezekiel of the Good Shepherd is fulfilled in Christ. God's own Son. God Himself. He says, I myself will do this. I myself will be your shepherd. That's Christ. That's Jesus. And you're the ones who were lost. You are the ones who went astray, and I found you. I sought you until I found you, and I put you on my shoulders and carried you back as a little lamb. And the angels rejoiced over you in heaven when you repented. You're my flock. I love you. You're my flock. The prophet begins by affirming the fact that God loves you simply by calling you his flock. Simply by saying, he is your good shepherd, my good shepherd. And then he says, I'm going to give you a little challenge. But before we talk about this, you must remember that all of this depends on and is given to you and must be considered in the context of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and what He has done for you. If you just treat it as rules and stuff that you got to deal with, well, then you might as well not be part of the flock. But you are. But you are. Start with that. The Lord has redeemed you and me by the blood of the Lamb of God Himself, by His death and by His resurrection for you and me, so that you belong to the flock. We're a new creation in baptism. So, flock, the issue here isn't about your salvation, but how you act as a flock. It's not about whether you act like a Christian or not and whether God's going to like you or not for it. But it is about what pleases God. St. Paul says in Ephesians 5, find out what pleases the Lord and do it. Well, Ezekiel tells us, what pleases me, what pleases the Lord, is that we live as a flock in community, as people of God together, who know what it is to be loved. And to know what it is to be loved is to love each other. In our culture today, we struggle with self-centeredness and narcissism. I mean, how many Twitter followers do you have? How many do you need? We tie ourselves to Instagram and to screens, which are all really just about what I want, what I want to watch, what I want people to think of me. It's very self-centered. We think about ourselves a lot. I'll give you an example. On Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, we give thanks to God for all of His blessings to us, flock. And then how many people, you could turn the TV on this Thanksgiving Friday, watch the news, and it'll be about how many people get trampled going into Best Buy. Right? It's like, I want to be the first one in to get the new TV for half price or quarter price or whatever it is. Or the newest video games because they're going to run out. Or the best toy for Christmas. Because there's always one Christmas toy. You remember what it was 17 years ago? I bet you don't. But somebody had to have it. And I don't remember. You can make it up. But psychologists tell us, these child psychologists tell us that we stop being so self-centered and self-focused around age 2. But if you watch Thanksgiving Friday, you really wonder if some people failed age 2. The unfortunate reality is it's not just the people of the world out there. It's easy for us to point fingers at them just like we point fingers at our leaders. But here God is not talking to the people out there. And He's not even talking to He's talking to the leaders too, but He's talking to us, the sheep. And He says, my flock, really? Is that who you are? Is that who I called you out of being lost to be? And you know the answer to that. It's that same word you knew when you were 2. No. We don't think of sheep as, I don't know about you, I don't tend to think about sheep as really aggressive animals. I mean, I've never been a shepherd. There was, when we lived in Missouri, there was down the road and around the corner, there was a family that raised sheep and goats. And every once in a while, they'd get out and they just kind of wander around, you know? They were lost. And it took them like a day and a half to finally gather them up and bring them all home. But I tend to think about sheep as, you know, there's this green pasture out there and, you know, a little lamb lying down and, you know, butterflies and maybe rainbows in the sky. And you think, oh, it's so peaceful. But sheep can be aggressive. They seek out the greenest pasture. They look for the greenest grass, the softest grass. They don't want to eat thorns. They push each other out of the way to get there. And if you've ever seen them trying to get to the water trough, they fight their way to the water too. First one there. Same kind of thing can happen in a Christian community. We want things our own way. And it will be simple. It can be as simple as something like pushing yourself to the front of the potluck line to get the best dish when it's hot. I've done that. You know, and then, you know, you reach over and there's something nice over there, and you kind of scoop some out, and by the time it gets to your plate, you've dripped it over some other pot that's on the way. So whoever's in line behind you, that's what they get. Okay, I mean, forgive me for that, all right? It's trampling the grass for the next guy, okay? That's just a simple example. But how about this? What if I have a personal preference in worship style? Or maybe you do. And I want it my way. I really don't want to go to church if the organ's playing. Or I really don't want to go to church if the organ's not playing. You know, I love communion, but I only want to go to communion if it's at the rail. Or I never want to go to communion if it's at the rail. I just like the continuous communion. Can't we just have it my way all the time? And then let's, and if somebody doesn't like it, well, they can leave or whatever. Or tell you what, I'm willing to stand up for that and argue to have it my way. It's got to be my way. What is that but trampling the grass and muddying up the waters? Now picture the next lost sheep that comes into that picture and sees the sheep strong-arming and shouldering each other out of the way to exert their own dominance over what? The greenest grass, the clearest water. People who come into God's house to hear His message of forgiveness and mercy and peace. Does it look like that? The Lord says, this is my flock. Is that who you want to be? What should God's flock look like? I don't know about you, but it's easy for me sometimes, not just here on Sunday morning, but just during the week, during your week. Is it easy for you to get caught up in getting from point A to point B? Or thinking about all the stuff I've got to do and how little time I have to do it? So I just like put my head down and plug away until I get it done. What am I ignoring to get my stuff done? Am I ignoring my family? Do I not have time for my family? Do I not have time to love the person that God has put in my life? Because I've got so much green grass to cut or chew or trample on? That I ignore the fact that I'm a husband and a father or a son? Maybe a daughter or a wife or a mother. We get so wrapped up in our own projects and try to navigate through this difficult world of ours. We forget that we're human beings and that the people around us, people, that's why we call them people, are people and are human beings, and that we live in a community, and that this Holy Cross congregation is a special community because it's a community of God, community of His believers, His flock. It's not an institution. It's not a building. It's God's flock. Yes, yes, we do grow out of the terrible twos, at least most of us. But it's still a fight. It's still a fight. Our old nature wants to pull us back to be self-centered, to just use that word no all the time. So to control our environment around us, we forget about other people. And the Lord just says, look, you're different. You're my flock. Remember that. Live like that. I've redeemed you to be that through my own Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The Lord says, the Lord is our shepherd. Your shepherd and my shepherd. God is the one who actually produces that green grass and that clear water for us. He's the one. So we don't have to worry and run around being fearful and anxious and pushing ourselves to the front of the line because for fear that there's not going to be any more grass or there's not going to be any more water. There will be. The Lord will provide. He's the Lord. He's our good shepherd. And He gives us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to be His flock. Let's live in that. In Jesus' name, amen.